the potential for disaster at the Fukushima Daiichi plant has largely overshadowed the very real disaster of Friday's earthquake and tsunami. Roughly 4,000 people are now confirmed dead, though that number is expected to rise considerably in the days and weeks to come. Thousands of families have been displaced, and many of those lucky enough to stay in their homes have no electricity or running water. To get a better sense of the human toll, NPR's Rob Gifford and his Japanese interpreter, Chia Kobayashi, headed north from the power plant, and together they visited one small coastal town that was devastated by the tsunami.
Well, after several days reporting from in and around the city of Sendai, not far at all from the nuclear power plant, we've decided to put a little bit of distance between ourselves and the possible nuclear meltdown, and we're heading up the coast, except I'm not sure what this is up ahead. There's some kind of checkpoint on the road. So he's letting us on the freeway?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But not everyone?
No, never. Look, only emergency vehicles are allowed. So no taxis and cars.
No taxis and cars. So what about if you wanted to escape from some radiation cloud? Would you be allowed to drive on the freeway?
I don't think so.
That's extraordinary. Well, we've driven a couple of hours up the coast here northwards and I've just got out of the car above the town of Rikuzen Takata, which is about half a mile down towards the sea here. And the amazing thing about all of this is, apart from the fact that it's just begun to snow, it is freezing cold here, it all just seems so normal. The birds are singing, there's beautiful pine trees around me, the houses all around me here, they've just had a 9.0 earthquake and they're not destroyed at all, they're not even damaged. And yet half a mile below me, as I start to walk down the hill here, by all accounts there are scenes of utter devastation. And then when you get down the bottom of the hill, suddenly you're in the midst of it. The backhoes are working here to clear the debris, and they've cleared a path through, but it's like two walls of debris on either side of this path, just piled high, just rubble, wood and mangled cars, and just the wreckage of homes, a kitchen sink here, clothes, blankets, stuff that used to be somebody's home that they'd built up and loved and cherished over years and decades, and now it's just nothing. Well, many of the people from the town have been evacuated here to the gymnasium, the sports hall of the high school up on the hill, and there must be, I don't know, 500 or 600 people in here lying down. And just to give you a picture of exactly how orderly it all is, they've had a tsunami, they've had an earthquake, there's a nuclear power station on fire down the coast, but there's a lady here at the door sorting the trash and separating the bottles from the plastic, from the paper and the cardboard for recycling. Can I ask your name, please?
Kumanga Yuko.
Is your home destroyed?
My house is just all washed away. It's gone, completely gone.
So what are you going to do now?
I just can't think about anything now. All I know is I will stay here for a while.
Where are you from?
From America.
America?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming.
Can you tell me your name?
Oh, Hisashi Sugawara. This town is my hometown. I was a teacher and I worked for this girl. So many my student who I taught are missing now. So I'm very sad. And but thank you very much for coming.
Well, we're back in the car now, and all the news on the radio is, of course, about the nuclear plant to the south of here. Having seen that destruction from the tsunami, knowing about the 2 million households with no electricity, the 1.5 million with no water, and the 500,000 other evacuees. It's clear there's a long way to go on the road to recovery. But what's most striking, perhaps, to the outside observer is the resilience, not to mention the dignity of the Japanese people as they face these disasters together. Rob Gifford, NPR News, in northeastern Japan.